Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Coach Karen Scott. Happy Friday, and thank you for joining. For those who have joined thus far, we will be starting very shortly because, as always, we have a lot of great information to share, and it's very impactful, and I can't wait to hear from the listeners on what impact them most from their mother, right? Something she may have said or something that resonates with you. Starting very shortly, there's still time to invite someone if you haven't, and just see what's in store for today. So just bear with us and we will be getting started shortly. Again, welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Coach Karen Scott. It is Friday, and a happy one at that. Just thanking everybody for joining us this evening, because you could have been doing something else, so I'm truly blessed by you being a part of the show. We just thank you for, you know, joining us tonight. And, you know, it's still about mindful thinking, but we're just going to talk a little bit about, you know, Mother's Day. And before we get started with this segment, again, my name is Coach Karen Scott. I am a certified purpose and character development coach, as well as a health and wellness representative and distributor, with Youngevity, because it's all about pushing towards our passion to understand what our purpose is, to be assured that we will be moving towards having optimal health and wellness. It's all about mindful thinking. Mindful thinking means, you know, just always focusing on the here and now, but also thinking about what you're doing before you do what you do, whether it's reading, eating, making decisions in your life, anything that's impactful, but in a positive way. So again, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. It's Happy Friday, and today we're going to basically do a tribute to Mother's Day. And of course, I'm going to open it up in a little bit so I can hear from others, you know, like some things that their mothers said or did that made an impact on your life, a positive impact on your life, something they said or did that you still, you know, resonate with today and might even use today. So before we get started with that, I just wanted to share a few facts about Mother's Day. I was doing some research on the internet and came up with a few things that I didn't even know about. So it's about 8 facts here. So, an American activist, Anna Jarvis, is credited with founding Mother's Day in the United States, and she's responsible for the modern-day Mother's Day celebrations as we know it. Though she never had children of her own, Ms. Jarvis reportedly wanted to ensure her own mother's wish for a day just for mom. She campaigned for years to help make the day a reality. So the first Mother's Day is believed to have been celebrated in 1908 in the American states of West Virginia and Pennsylvania. On May 9th, 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed a law designating the second Sunday each May as Mother's Day in the United States. No Mother's Day is celebrated in the United States, India, and a number of countries on the second Sunday of May each year. And the United Kingdom celebrates Mother's Day on March 6th. So there's other countries, and you know, including India, who celebrate on the second Sunday of May. However, the United Kingdom celebrates Mother's Day on March 6th. In the UK and some parts of Europe, the fourth Sunday of Lent is often celebrated as Mothering Day. In France, mothers are celebrated on the last Sunday of May. Mother's Day is one of the most profitable holidays in the United States. This year, people are expected to spend a near record of $23.1 billion, according to the National Retail Federation, on greeting cards, flowers, dinners, clothing, and or jewelry. Here's a fun fact for all you grammar nerds. Mother's Day was initially intended to be a day to honor and celebrate mothers individually and not collectively. That is why the apostrophe is before the S, making mothers singular possessive instead of plural possessive. So Mother's Day, recognizing and celebrating mothers individually instead of collectively. The last fact, we talked earlier about Anna Jarvis, who was credited for finding Mother's Day. So although she came up with Mother's Day as we know it, she eventually came to hate how commercialized it became. She eventually opposed what she called a Hallmark holiday. So although she made it a day for celebration, she was not happy with the commercialism. Like basically most holidays and things like that that are celebrated, people do tend to make it more a commercial thing. But Mother's Day was to be a recognition and a celebration to mothers just so they can have that, you know, special day set aside. And it's just really amazing how they really pinpointed how much they're going to spend on Mother's Day this year. $23.1 billion on greeting cards. One day, yes, mothers are special. I get that. But that's a lot of money. And I just want people to realize, even though they're spending that money for Mother's Day, I really truly hope and pray that there's love and respect there for their mothers as well. Let's not, you know, forget the true purpose of what the celebration is all about. Me, myself, I like to just relax. I'm hoping and praying that I can spend Mother's Day chilling and just watching movies or taking naps or whatever it is that I may want to do. So those are the 8 facts about Mother's Day. And I'm sure there's other facts out there, but I just pulled those out. So before I open it up, I'm going to share a few inspirational quotes that I came across from different individuals. This person says, in a child's eyes, a mother is a goddess. She can be glorious or terrible, benevolent or filled with wrath, but she commands love either way. That is the greatest power in the universe. And this person was N.K. Jemisin in the 100,000 Kingdoms. Some of these people I know, some I don't, but I thought like some of their inspirational quotes were pretty interesting. Here's one from Agatha Christie. A mother's love for her child is like nothing else in the world. It knows no law, no pity. It dates all things and crushes down remorselessly all that stands in its path. Stevie Wonder. Mama was my greatest teacher, a teacher of compassion, love, and fearlessness. If love is sweet as a flower, then my mother is that sweet flower of love. Notice the theme here, love. Love. Mother's love. Mother's command love. Mother's give love. This is a Jewish proverb. God could not be everywhere, so therefore he made mothers. Mothers are always there, no matter what. Oprah Winfrey. Biology is the least of what makes someone a mother. That gives you something to think about. Sophocles. I guess I'm saying that right. Children are the anchors of a mother's life. Here's one from someone that we don't know who the author is. Mothers hold their children's hand for a short while, but their hearts forever. So although they, you know, grow up and, you know, tend to do things on their own, they will always, children will always be in the hearts of their mothers. Louisa May Alcott in Joe's Boys. We all know who she is. Mothers can forgive anything. Tell me all and be sure that I will never let you go, though the whole world should turn from you. Maya Angelou. I will look after you. And I will look after anybody you say needs to be looked after. Any way you say, I am here. I brought my whole self to you. I am your mother. Your mother's always there when you need them. This one's President Abraham Lincoln. All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. I think we can all relate to that. Mitch Albom, but behind all your stories is always your mother's story, because hers is where yours begins. And so that's why I'm so glad that you're on this show tonight, because keep in mind, I would like to hear at least one or two things that your mother has done, something she has said that resonates with you and still stays with you to this day. So just kind of think about that, because when I go to open up the call, we can all share something that our mothers have really impacted upon us in a positive way. Jody Picoult. I always wonder why God was supposed to be a father, she whispers. Fathers always want you to measure up to something. Mothers, however, are the ones who love you unconditionally, don't you think? Amy Tan, a mother is always beginning. She is how things begin. Everything starts with your mother. Everything. From the time that you were conceived until the time that you're born, all throughout your life, everything begins with your mother. Dr. Devasia Meridia, a mother is like nature. She appreciates her child's every mood. No matter what we go through, good, bad, or ugly, a mom is always there for you. Maggie Nelson, that's the Argonauts. The mother of an adult child sees her work completed and undone at the same time. If this holds true, I may have to withstand not only rage, but also my undoing. Can one prepare for one's undoing? How has my mother withstood mine? Why do I continue to do and undo her? When what I want to express, all above else, is that I love her very much. Love for a mother and a mother's love is the biggest and major bond that one could have. Whether she's here or she's your angel in heaven, that love never, ever disappears. Never. So those are a few inspirational quotes that, you know, some people have shared regarding their mothers. I'm going to open it up in a minute, and then I'm going to go over a few of some moms in the Bible. And you're going to find this really exciting because I made it like a good thing, like it's a good thing, but be able to relate it to today. Something that I always think about, one of the things my mom said, because she says, and I know for everybody, says so much, but she always says or has said she wanted to make sure that her children understood that it's okay to go for what you want as long as it's what God says, as long as it's positive and impactful. But she wanted us to always do better than what she did. Strive to do better. Strive to do better and move forward. Strive to do better and move forward and make sure whatever you're doing it for the glory of God. Make sure you're striving, do better, glory of God, and a servant, serving others. That is what my mother instilled upon me. One of the things, but that right there truly resonates with me because that's what I'm striving to do with what the purpose that God has given me to make that impact on this world, on my life, making that major positive impact by edifying, encouraging, uplifting, and just being there for others. You know, just being that crutch for people who are less fortunate. Just being there. So just, you know, just remember that it is about helping others, but just making sure that what we do is impactful. So I'm going to open it up just to see if anybody wants to share. I know I lost a couple people hoping they can get back in. I don't know if their phone's, disconnected, but if you have anything you want to share, maybe one or two things that your mother has said or done that has been impactful to you, and the lines are open.
Hi, this is Alba.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, everyone on the call.
Hello, how are you?
This is a really good call. I'm getting better, thank you. Thank you, I'm good. My mom, she said something that she said it to me, and I don't recall her saying it to my other sisters, but she said, Alba, and she said it in Spanish because she didn't speak English. She said, Alba, you're going to marry a man that loves God.
Mm-hmm.
She said it to me maybe 3 times. And I was like, wow. I don't know, because I wasn't into Puerto Rican boys back then, and those were the only ones around. And I'm like, I kept trying to see which one.
It's like, who could it be?
Okay, mommy. She said it again a few years later. I was in high school. She said, you're going to marry a godly man. And I said, okay. Okay. All the other guys in the building were my friends, and so I knew I wasn't marrying any of them.
Said, right,
okay.
Right. Mom knows best.
Mom knows best, because I've been married to a man who truly, truly loves God for 25 years.
That's powerful.
Mom knows best.
Mm-hmm. Mom knows best. She was on point.
She was on point.
I didn't
understand.
Even though you didn't know at the time, but she was on point.
I didn't even want it when she said it, but she was on point.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, they do. They know. Mothers know. Mothers know. You know, they, you know, I don't know. It's just so many different things that my mom has done and said, and even just doing things with her, you know, in the kitchen and cooking and, you know,
yeah.
just having that time is just like really, I have so much to think about because, I mean, I'm 61.
Me
so
too.
My mom passed in 2004. So I had a lot of great moments with my mother. I mean, I wish I could have more, but it's just that it's just so much. And it's just like, I just thank God for her because of the foundation she has, you know, placed in our lives. But it's just so many things that she's just, so many things she has left us for what she said and done that you just, it is just like an ongoing thing. So
it's
I just truly love God for that, and I love her for that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I didn't have them long. They both passed away when I was 24. But the times I did experience some wonderful times with them because they became empty nesters. I was the baby of nine, so finally I had a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
me and them.
Right. Right.
And, you know, growing
yeah, so
up, you know, we spent time in the sewing room and in the kitchen. But those 3 years that they were empty nesters except for me, it was awesome.
Yeah. And that's just it right
awesome.
There. Like, you know, like just making the most of the time. It's not the quantity, it's the quality. So, you
mm-hmm.
know, that's just, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. I know somebody else out there that you want to share anything about your mother, and that could be your grandmother, you know, whoever made an impact or, you know, positive moment in your life. I know you probably have more than one, but, you know, if you have a couple, that's okay to share as well.
I'm going to say stuff. Well, first of all, my mom was awesome. I'm grateful for her, even though I was 14, 2004. Okay, well, let's not get all, like, sad. Sorry, I was having a moment because
okay.
I was just thinking of, like, all the memories. Because, first of all, I'll start with my mom. First of all, even though she had, you know, all the grandkids and I was the furthest one away, I never felt like she didn't know me. I never felt left out. Because, well, her and Papa, we're talking about my mom, they were talking about moms, but they made time for all of us. All of us had a special relationship with them. We all have memories with them. I've done stuff with them up here. They visited up here. She visited, well, they, because Pop had to drive her, but it's just nice to have those memories. So when she did pass away, I wasn't like, wow, I didn't get any time with her because I was the furthest grandchild away. The reason why I had mentioned mom was because you kind of said something that she said, like a combination of how you should treat other people and not judge them from the outside, not look at what they look like on the outside, because if they treat you with respect, even those who don't, always treat people kindly and with respect, no matter who they are, because it's what's on the inside that counts. Even if somebody is not that nice to you, always be kind.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a combination of what you said and what she said mixed into one, because that's where you got it from. So that's that from you guys. And then the second one is something that you said since I don't even know how old I was, but I remember you saying that, especially when it comes to God, that I can be whoever I want to be and do whatever I want to do. And of course, I have to get back to my childhood ways, but it seems easy, but when you don't do, like, worldly things, sometimes it is kind of hard to do and be whatever you want to be, because the world has its set system and it lets people rise to the top very easily sometimes. Even genuine nice people, they rise to the top. And then sometimes you feel like, I'm still, like, stuck in the same old thing and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But I still keep that in my mind because I don't want to do the opposite. I want to be who God says I am and do what I can be in Him. And I just remember you saying that. Even when it gets tough, I still just remember that.
Yeah, and always remember, even though you might think that people, you know, are rising to the top quicker than you, but just remember that you're not where you were a second ago. You're not where you were a minute ago. You were not where you were 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago, a day ago, because every day you're in a different place and you are moving forward in what you're doing. Just always remember that and just keep the consistency going and just remember that, you know, God prevails. No matter who goes to the top in the world system, but in God's kingdom, in God's system, He prevails. And yes, sometimes it's tough and it seems like a struggle, but it's also Him putting us to the test to make sure that we're going to continue to stay focused on Him. We're going to continue to have a passion, you know, to push forward in our purpose so that we can execute, activate, and pursue our goals, but only through Him and His way. And then trusting in Him, believing in Him, having faith in Him, loving Him, knowing Him, and just wholeheartedly depending on Him in everything that you do, regardless, because that's all He wants us to do. Even when we think it's a tough time, that's all He, because that's part of the test. Which direction are you going to go? Are you going to go left? Are you going to go right? Are you just going to stay focused on Him? That mindful thinking, stay focused on Him. And like I said, and trust me, that's part of our process. It can be tough at times, but the bottom line is that we have to truly trust and rest and believe in Him because He will do what He said He's going to do. And remember,
Mom,
His timing and our timing is not the same. Yes, ma'am.
You see, right there, that's how you can tell that you're a mom. What you just said. Not that what you said was funny, but like I was listening, I was like, yeah, that's a mom. That's mom advice.
Godly mom
even
advice.
Even when you guys feel low, you don't really let anybody else know. You still try to keep it moving because, like, moms have their moments too, but they always, like,
mm-hmm.
keep pushing forward and try to make sure everybody else is feeling good, even when they don't really feel that great. So
you're right.
It's
Sarah.
Like,
you're so right.
Mm-hmm.
So true. Truly, because I was having a moment like that today. I was like, oh, my gosh. I was, like, trying to get some stuff done. I was like, oh, my gosh, I just want to sit down for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I wanted to do. It was like, it just seemed like I was nonstop today. But it was productive. But then it was like, okay, I need to take it down. So I was able to do that. So I just, you know, sat down and just kind of took a deep breath. Let it out. Yes.
Can I just say this? When you said that,
yes.
Like, the reason why sometimes I get like I do, and this is kind of for everybody, I don't know if you guys did this when you were younger, but a lot of the things I think about that I do is like, what is it going to be like when I have my kids? Like, a lot of things that I do, I'm always thinking about my children. I'm like, okay, I need to do this because when my kids come, this is where I need to be. Now, mind you, I have no idea when I'm getting married. I have no idea. Like, I know other things, but for some reason, I can't get God to, like, show me that. I don't know if He's being secretive. Like, that's one thing in my life that I have, like, no clue about, and it's kind of annoying, but whatever. But, yeah, most of the things that I do, I'm always thinking about my kids or, like, even, like, my health. I'm like, okay, I need to make sure I'm healthy so, like, the kids are healthy. And, like, everything that I do, I always do that. Like, did you guys do that when you were younger? Like, you kind of just were, like,
That's good that you think about that. When I was in Florida 2 weeks ago visiting with my daughter and the kids, and By the way, tomorrow is the 7th wedding anniversary.
Yay, happy anniversary.
You know, I'm always in awe. And, you know, and I always pray that, you know, whatever my kids do, that they are better than we are.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I watch my daughter, you know, take care of her husband. I watch my daughter take care of the kids. I watch her take care of herself.
Mm.
And I couldn't be more prouder. I couldn't be more prouder. She's a better cook than I am. She's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't cook that much lately.
Yep.
It's just me and my husband, and Dominique is grown. She eats what she eats.
Right.
But, you know, I'm so proud of her. And Tara, you're going, those motherly instincts are going to just happen.
Mm-hmm.
Those wifey instincts are going to happen. There's no book. Your mother could talk to you till she's blue, but you will mm-hmm. figure it out. Danielle has figured this thing out, and I'm so proud of her.
That's so
awesome.
Nice to hear.
That's awesome. Yes, it is. And then coming from a mother to see that, because like you said, and something my mom said, you always want your children to do better than you're doing. Because it's part of generational.
You were ahead of me, though.
Right now, but that doesn't mean that when that happens that won't transpire and transform the way it's supposed to. Because it's like that scripture says, to train a child up the way they should go, Proverbs 22, I think 6 it says. So basically, as parents and as mothers, even in Deuteronomy it says that your children should see God in you in everything that you do. So your walk, your talk, when you wake up, when you go to bed,
mm-hmm,
when you're out and about, they should see it in you at all times. And then that resonates within you because you're seeing that. You're seeing that light from your mother, your parents. It's like, this is what they're doing. This is how they're doing it. 9 times out of 10, you'll do the same. And if you stray, most of the time you come back. So
yep.
We have to continue to be that. We have to be that. That's what God, that is what God commands us to do. So we have to do that.
And it's just a blueprint. It's a blueprint,
yep.
Tara, and you end up customizing
yep.
it to your lifestyle, your
exactly.
needs, your family's needs.
Exactly.
You'll use
exactly.
that, and then you'll say, okay, but I can add this to it, or we can do
mm-hmm.
it this way. You'll never stray
right.
from the groundwork, from your foundation. It'll always be there. You'll always remember something that your parents laid down for you. But then you're becoming your own mommy. You're becoming your own type of wife, and then you'll customize it to fit your needs and your lifestyle.
Yeah, it just enhance upon what you're already a foundation is built upon. So it's just enhancement. All right, well, I'm going to share a couple things. I don't know if I'm going to get to all the moms that I talked about in the Bible, but I'm going to talk about the first one. So I'll open it back up so we can have closing comments and things like that. So bear with me 1 second. Great, great information, people. Even if you didn't respond or say anything, hopefully what was said was impactful. So thank you for that. Bear with me 1 sec. Yeah, so we continue to talk about our moms and what they do and how we as moms always want to see our children do better than what we're doing. And just awesome to hear a mother say that they're proud of their daughter, who is still their child, who is now a mother and a wife, a mother of 3 and a wife. And if I'm not mistaken, she's homeschooling as well, just like my niece with her 3. So, again, doing things better but still have that foundation that's laid for us. Sometimes when we think about mothers or women, you know, we always seem to go to that infamous chapter in the Bible, Proverbs 31. So I'm going to briefly read a little bit about what that Proverbs 31 woman is. As we know, many outstanding godly women appear throughout the Bible, but the virtuous woman described here merits special praise. When I say here, I'm referencing Proverbs 31, which you can read at your leisure. The passage describes what kind of wife a woman should be and what kind of woman a man should choose to marry. We are told not who she is, but what she was. This woman of strength comes alive. This rare woman was a paragon of virtue, trustworthy, industrious, organized, and loving. Yet, amazingly, she was able to order the priorities of her world. In this case, her husband totally trusted her. Her children voluntarily praised her, and her home was a model of efficiency. However, she still found time to reach out to her community, to help the poor, and even to increase her family's resources through wise investments and productive management of all placed in her care. Moreover, she was as outwardly beautiful as she was inwardly wise and beautiful. So when we think about her, some people probably like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can live up to that standard. That's a lot to be a mother, a wife, a wise investor, someone who goes out here and, you know, creates streams of income and helping the needy and community outreach. It's like, you got to change your address to, I don't know if I can measure up street. Meaning, how can I compete with the Proverbs 31 woman? You don't compete. This is a process. This is a process. It's a process of what God has placed in this individual who wrote this chapter. But it's God's word, and his word is breathe through that individual to help give a blueprint of what the virtuous woman should be like. Meaning that there might be some things that you do, and there'll be some things that you're not doing. You know, you're not a wife, so maybe you're someone who has income stream. Maybe you're someone who's helping the community, helping the poor. Measuring yourself to this Proverbs woman is just your blueprint. And maybe eventually, who knows, you may be able to do it all. Because, you know, for some unknown reason, it's a God thing. This is what God did. This is how God created us to be, just being able to do various things. But as I was going through and studying, I was like, you know what? Proverbs 31 woman is virtuous. However, there are so many stories in the Bible of other kinds of mothers. There are so many in God's word that we could speak about. We don't have time to talk about them all, but we could talk about maybe one or two. And I don't know. It depends on how much time we have. But some of them are good. Some of them are bad. And some of them are just downright bizarre. I don't know if I'm going to get to all of them, but let's start out with the original mother, Eve. She was the mother of Cain, Abel, and Seth, and several unnamed others. I wanted to start off with her because she is the original mother of us all. And although she made one of the biggest mistakes, which truly affects all of us forever and ever, thanking God for his son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins so that we can live. But she made a big mistake, which caused her, sadly, to get a lot of negativity. But hey, it wasn't like she had any other woman around to make it right for her. Like, it's not like she had somebody she could go talk to about what she was going through. She had to, like, you know, figure this thing out on her own. She didn't have, you know, she didn't have a mother to go to ask about things. She didn't have nobody to go to if her kids got sick or had a temperature or was teething. She had to figure all that stuff out on her own. But then again, nobody could look at her and tell her that what she was doing was wrong. Her sons were involved in the first homicide. All this happening without any video games and violence on TV to blame it on. She was the first mom to have buried a child. That had to be very heartbreaking. So they had nothing to blame it on. No newspaper articles, nothing. But this all happened anyway. Eve, the original mother. Then we have Sarah, the mother of Isaac. This is a mom who gives hope to everyone who wants to have a baby and they think it's too late to get started on that mommy track. It's not that she didn't try. It's just that her womb was on a different biological clock. It just wasn't her time. God wasn't ready for her to do that. And although he made a promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, this is why it led to Sarah being the mother of many nations, even though she was older. But it gives people hope to say, oh, I'm not too old. It can still happen. When the messenger of the Lord told Abraham that it really would be Sarah that was going to deliver the promised baby, of course, we know what did Sarah do. She overheard that, and she laughed, but then she got in trouble for it. But I guess if we were her age, too, I guess we could laugh, too, because we would think about that and be like, really? At 80-plus, I'm going to have this baby in my lap, and I'm trying to feed it, and if you're wanting to try to breastfeed, you don't know if you could do that because you don't know if you're healthy enough to do that. Sarah is somebody who could laugh at her late start with motherhood, knowing that after all of that, good things come to those who waited. And so, even though she laughed, she thought it was just like unbelievably not going to happen. It happened, and her son ended up being one of the ones who was promised that part of the nation. So she was a mother of many nations. Abraham was the father, and their son, along with the other son, became landowners. But that was funny to her. But God has a sense of humor, and he made her look, I guess, I don't want to call her stupid, but made her look really stupid because she laughed at God. Don't laugh at him, because God can do anything he wants to do. Then we look at Rebecca, mother of Jacob and Esau. And you know, in some cases, some moms do play favorites with their children, as Rebecca did. She just didn't play favorites. She schemed, and she connived. And she was an accessory to one of the biggest dupes. She duped the father by doing what she did. It says it plain in scripture that Isaac loved Esau because he was an outdoors man, but Rebekah loved Jacob. This kind of favoritism does not bode well for a family. When the lines are drawn, it is obvious who is thick with whom, and then life can become very, very messy. Rebecca was in conclusion, excuse me, she was in collusion, excuse me, with Jacob. Even his name meant trickster. So they took the birthright from his older brother and tricked the father. Imagine that, and the mom was in on it at the same time. This rift in the family lasted a long time. Rebecca should remind us that it is dangerous to use maternal power for manipulation. She's one of those people that were and falls in the downright bizarre mother. Then we have Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. As you know, she had an illicit affair with King David, resulting in the birth of a son. David tried for some damage control. Imagine this, sending her husband out to war, back to the house hoping for a copulating cover-up. So what happened is he's trying to bring the husband back to make it look like the baby would be the husband's, although the husband did not fall into that. So he ended up having the husband killed in battle. And he thought he got away with it, and he didn't. We don't know how it affected Bathsheba, but their sin was well documented, and the effects to David's household long-lasting. Although they did have a son born for their union, Solomon turned out to be a peaceful ruler whose wisdom was legendary. Bathsheba's motherhood gives hope that regardless of the circumstance surrounding your pregnancy and the birth of your child, God can redeem any situation. You never know. You might just have the wisest person ever on the planet staring back at you from that high chair. Then we have Jochebed. This is the mother of Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. She could be in a Lifetime movie for women. You just have to give it up for her and the midwives who, in their act of civil disobedience, allowed Moses to be born. Those midwives, when asked by Pharaoh why they were not killing no boy's baby, replied that the Hebrew women were too vigorous. And thus baby Moses was born. He was sent literally down the river while his sister looked out, only to be pulled out of the water by the Pharaoh's daughter. Talk about a movie script. Oh, wait, they already did that. Anyway, Moses' mom shows us that the determination and ingenuity of a desperate mother can result in surprising circumstances. Oh, the places that you'll go and can go. Finally, we're going to talk about Mary, mother of Jesus. Talking about Mary and her pregnancy and how accurate it was from that angelic visitation to make sure that she knew that this was a sure thing and she was favored to have the Messiah. And because of the way it happened, she could have been stoned for that. She was relieved to find out that the angel had given her beau, Joseph, the same message. And believe it or not, she was going to give birth to the divine gift of heaven. As you know, as a mom, gifts or not, there's always going to be work attached. Because I'm sure she still had to you know, soothe the baby Jesus, change his diapers, teach him how to talk and walk. If he got hurt and fell down, had to clean him up. She had to cook meals. She had to wash his clothes. All the things that we do as a mom when we take care of our children. It's interesting the places that we see Mary when it comes to her being in the various Gospels. Another great moment of Mary's was when she was at the wedding feast, apparently overwhelmed by her 30-year-old son for not doing that thing he could do with the water. That thing meaning turning water into wine. When Jesus seems to refuse to come through, she goes around him and tells the servants to get ready to do something for him. And then Jesus does the miracle. I think I would have loved to have seen that. That look between Mary and Jesus when he did that. And then sadly, we see Mary, as it says in the words, that she had to go through the crucifixion. His disciples, his followers, but his mother stayed, even when the rest of the world just said, they're going to walk away. In fact, Mary is what you would call a rich tapestry of real motherhood. No matter what your child goes through, you're always going to be there. Be it painful or something good. But through it all, she was there. Just as I know most mothers would be. So these moms that I spoke about tonight reveal to us that the mother's love is fierce and sometimes stubborn to a fault and could be even wrong. We do the right things for wrong reasons, wrong things because we think everyone needs our help. When we look at moms in the Bible, we should say a silent prayer of thanks that these women are included with the Proverbs 31 woman to bring snapshots of reality and spiritual caution as we go through our journey in life to whatever the purpose is that God has for us. Looking to just some of the women that I spoke about, and how it can relate to you or not, but letting you know that as a mother, you're going to go through good times, you're going to go through bad times, and you can go through times that's just out of control, simply bizarre. But no matter what, for us, we have the grace of God, his love and mercy to bring us through each and every day. So I thank God for placing this on my heart. I just wanted to touch on a few of the moms in the Bible because every situation is different, same way with it is today. Every mother and their situation is different. But if we still look to God, he will truly bring us through the good, the bad, and the ugly. So thank everybody for being on the line, being on the call, just, you know, with their feedback. I'm going to pull it open one more time because we still have a couple minutes before the call closes out. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. And just having, you know, just an amazing day. An amazing day, and I hope it's a day that's going to be, you know, just rest. That's what I look to do. I'm looking to go to church, come home, relax, watch a movie, read a book, take a nap, whatever my body does, that's all I want to do Sunday, just put my feet up. I don't need to go anywhere. I just want to put my feet up. Happy Mother's Day. Call is open.
Happy Mother's Day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy Mother's Day to you as well. Even to the quiet ones, Happy Mother's Day.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you. Just remember those mothers I just talked about, the good, the bad, and the downright bizarre.
They all could have Lifetime movies. I mean, some of them actually do have movies, but
right,
you know, kind of Lifetime movie.
And you could probably think of a Lifetime movie that could almost relate to some of these.
Every single one of them. I already have the names of the movies up the top of my head right now.
Oh my God, that was awesome. All right, well, enjoy your evening. Okay, thank you everybody. Have a blessed and amazing weekend.